So welcome to this second session. We have a question answer session now. The way we shall conduct this session is as follows. If anybody would like to ask a question, you should just raise your hand and one devotee would be handing out to you a piece of paper. You can write your question on that and then the question comes here and then we ask all the devotees on the dais in a one by one fashion. So please do not write on the question as to whom it is addressed, because that will come only when as per the normal serialized order. Can someone from the Matari side take this responsibility of handing out the papers there? Just come and take those sheets from Raghunath Prabhu. So all those who would like to ask questions, please raise their hand and you can get your chits from Raghunath Prabhu for the Prabhus, and some Matajis will be passing out for the Matajis. Raghunath Prabhu, those devotees who have raised their hands, they should be given the chits. One chit, only one question. Otherwise, it becomes too elaborate. You can have as many chances as possible, but try to keep your questions short, succinct, intelligible. That means easy to understand. Not too difficult, according to Nitoit Maharaj. No need to write your name or the name of the devotee who is supposed to answer it. Okay, you can write your name also. Yeah, those whose questions are ready, you can please raise your hand and you can get those chits.
Fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and he sees everything, whether it be pebble, stones, or gold, as the same. So Prabhupada answers that question. This is a verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 9. So Prabhupada says that apparently there may be contradictions, but one who is actually satisfied by pure devotional service, he can actually understand how all contradictions resolve themselves in pure devotional service. In other words, for one who is in material consciousness, then he cannot understand Krishna's achintya shaktis, his inconceivable potencies. But one who is actually satisfied by pure devotional service and has understood Krishna, then he can understand how all contradictions are resolved in the transcendental form and service of Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. The next question goes to Chandramouli Maharaj. The question is, we know that Nityananda Prabhu's body is Satchidananda. Then how did blood ooze out of his scalp when Madai hit him with a pot?
This is achintya. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, fools deride me when I come in my transcendental form. They do not know my transcendental nature, my supreme dominion over all that be. For those who have material vision, and they may interpret that as having a material body. But the Lord does not disturb the minds of ordinary persons. So it appears that he is acting in a material way, exhibiting material frailties, or what we say something is an ordinary materialistic person has. But if one knows the nature of Lord Nityananda, or at least has a philosophical understanding of the position of the Supreme Lord and accepts the position, his position in accordance to the Shastras, then we can understand that the Lord exhibits these certain activities in order to also to bewilder the non-believers. Let's explain, when Krishna was on the planet, only 100, 200 persons could actually understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he doesn't disturb the minds of the non-believers, and he appears to act in an ordinary way. And it's also for his transcendental lila. But we can understand that he's not, his body is not material. That is the statement of the Shastras. And again, it is achintya. It's inconceivable.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. The next question goes to His Holiness Nituri Swami Maharaj. How to be steady in devotional service?
That's a good question. We become like who we associate with. If we associate with devotees who are very steadily engaged in serving the order of Guru and Krishna, then we'll take on those qualities. We certainly should know that we have no strength on our own to be steady. A devotee by nature is humble and accepts that all of their strength is coming from their association. Therefore, if we choose our association carefully by emulating devotees who are very strict in their regulation and committed on all levels of devotional service, then we will gain those qualities. Just like as children, we were always meditating on the good qualities of certain baseball heroes. Maybe in India it's cricket heroes. In other words, you have to have some heroes in your life, somebody that you look up to. And in our aspiration as a child, we wanted to be like, you know, so and so, a sports figure or something. And then as we take to the path of devotional service, we have to also have heroes. Of course, our heroes are established in the eternal pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest devotees in the history of the universe. Their qualities are described, but sometimes that may be a little bit too far out for us. We need to accept some heroes right within the midst of our own association. And if we're humble, we'll see the good qualities of the devotees and become inspired by those qualities. And steadiness is one of the things that Krishna emphasizes for getting his mercy. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So understanding that is a very, very important quality for getting intelligence, how to serve Krishna, we should seek out the association of some very steady devotees and latch on to their lotus feet. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. The next question goes to Madam Malti. The question is, I am not very much convinced that is this what I am going to do the whole of my life, that is serving the Vaishnavas. So what should I do to strengthen my faith? The devotee is asking that she is not very much convinced that this is what she is supposed to do the whole of her life, serving the Vaishnavas. So what is to be done to strengthen the faith?
Hare Krishna. Actually, Nityananda Swami's answer would likewise apply to this. If you associate with somebody who has a weak faith and does not strictly adhere to the regulative principles and is loose in their spiritual practices, your faith will reflect in the same way. And if your faith is primarily weak, which most of us, when we enter the doors of devotional service, our faith is not established. So one of the first business is to establish our faith. And we do this through adhering to the devotional practices. And in order to do this, we even have to associate properly with devotees who themselves are fixed up. And proper association means with devotees who are factually, clearly following the regulative principles and fixed in their devotional practices. And further, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books on a daily basis, by associating with Srila Prabhupada through his instructions as he has clearly given them in his books. And in this way, we will establish our own faith. And we have to learn to distinguish between our material desires and our spiritual desires. Because sometimes it's simply a matter of our material desires have overwhelmed us. And we start thinking that certain things are more important than spiritual life due to our giving too much contemplation to our material circumstance.
Thank you, Mataji. The next question is for Rajalunas Radhana Swami Maharaj. Throughout Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have found Krishna is mostly addressed as Brajendra Nandan and not with any other name. In the Bhagavad Gita, however, he is addressed with so many names. Besides, Brajendra Nandan indicates the Vatsalya Bhavaras and not the topmost Madhurya Bhavaras. So what is the significance of Krishna being addressed as Brajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj?
That is not correct. Krishna is addressed by so many names in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brajendra Nandana is certainly used quite often. Even Srila Narottam Das Thakur prays, Brajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Suta Hailo Sei, or Balarama Hailo Nitai. But for Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, all of the names of Krishna are understood according to one's particular development of Krishna. names of Krishna. Emotional standards of how we approach him. When Srimati Radharani or the gopis or a devotee who is situated in that mellow hear the name of Vajendranandana, they think of the son of Nanda Maharaj playing on his flute under the Bamsiva tree calling them to have rasa dance. When those in Vatsalya rasa hear the name Vrajendranandana, they think of Krishna, who is the most beloved child of Nanda and Yashoda. And we want to assist Nanda and Yashoda in pleasing this most wonderful child. When those in Sakya rasa, like Sridhama, Subala, Stoka Krishna, Arjuna, when they hear the name Vrajendranandana, they think of that beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj who loves to play with us throughout the day and herd the cows. And when the servants, those in Dasiras, when they meditate on Vrajendranandana, they are thinking of that beautiful, beautiful child of Nanda Maharaj who is our eternal master and servant, who we want to give our lives to. And when those in Santaras, the cows, the trees, the plants, the peacocks, when they meditate on Vrajendranandana, they are thinking of Krishna, who we give all our milk to, who we give all of our flowers to. So ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya paratasaravasha. As one approaches Krishna, Krishna rewards accordingly. And Krishna is none different than his name. Therefore, in each and every name, everyone will see Krishna according to their particular mood of devotion. Brajendra Nandana, Narottam Das Thakur, describes how that same Brajendra Nandana appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Radharani and Krishna in one form. In fact, when Ballabha Bhattacharya approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I have written a composition describing the names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, I only know that Krishna is Shamsundar and Yasodanandan. I don't know anything else. So it also says other names besides Brajendra. But in all cases, we should always chant the holy names of Krishna. Who asked that question? No name. Huh. Very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Next question is for Pladananda Swami Maharaj. If one is sincerely trying to follow Guru's instructions, what is the role of the formal initiation?
As I mentioned the other day, that initiation at Diksha means Diksha means Divya Gyanam, and the Ksha means Kshayati means the process which expands, and Divyam or transcendental knowledge, or as Srila Jiva Goswami has said in his Sandarbha, that divyam gyanam tato dhadyat koryat prapasya sangshayam tasmat dikteji sa prokta deshikas tatvadokovida. So, diksha is the process by which transcendental knowledge is expanded and by which ignorance is destroyed. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained the same thing, where he has said, tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadek shanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service to him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Our aim is to see the truth. And there is a process to see the truth, which consists of submission and inquiry and service. So these are the three that constitute the process by which we can understand spiritual knowledge. This is the process by which we can understand anything. Without submission, one will not be able to hear properly, and if one cannot hear properly, then there is no use to inquire, because without submission and proper inquiry to clarify one's understanding, then one's activities will not become proper in order to obtain the mercy of Krishna. So, diksha, which is an extension or part of the shiksha, which is the process by which transcendental knowledge is distributed, it's helped by the process of diksha. Generally, the conditioned souls are rebellious. And their rebellion takes a form as Ichcha Dvesha Samutena Dvanva Mohena Bharata Sarabhutani Samoham Sargeyanti Parantapa. That all living entities... Sorry about that. They're born into illusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. So, all living entities in this material world, they're overcome by attachment and aversion. Everyone is attached to the idea of becoming God, and everyone is averse or the fact that we can't become God. Everyone wants to become God, and everyone hates the fact that we can't become God. One time, Srila Prabhupada, when one of the first lectures I heard him give in Buffalo, he said, in the material world, there are only two activities. One is hankering for what we don't have, and the other is lamenting over what we've lost. So generally, when we hear something, we hear it in our own particular way. They have this game, it's called Pass the Word to Garcia. What it means is that someone to repeat one message into someone's ear, and that same person will repeat the message into someone else's ear. And if at the beginning the message is, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have to surrender to Him, by the time the last person repeats, hears the message as it's been passed down, his understanding is, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone should surrender to me. Therefore, a process of submission has to be there. Because unless we're submissive, then we won't be able to hear properly. Unless we're submissive, then our method of inquiry will not be adequate. And unless we're submissive, then there's no question of actually properly rendering service. So diksha is a process by which we can become fixed in not only hearing the transcendental knowledge submissively, but also trying to understand it properly. Prabhupada used to give the example, it is not that someone asks you, a devotee, asks you, please give me some water. And we think, why should I give him water? He's such an elevated soul, I should make a banana milkshake for him. And you come back with a banana milkshake, and the person says, what? Banana milkshake? I asked for water. No, you don't understand what you need. Therefore, diksha is meant to fix us in proper submission, proper inquiry, and ultimately to teach us how to do what the devotees are asking us to do, not what we want them to do. Just like there's that story, the guru arrives and his disciple brings forth his wonderful Mercedes Benz. And the guru says, "Where does this car come from?" And the disciple goes, "Guruji, it is all by your mercy." And then he arrives at the ashram and it's been renovated. 3 stories have been added. And there's carpets everywhere and videos and computers everywhere. And he says, "Where does this all come from?" He said, "Guruji, it is all by your mercy." And then there's a wonderful feast and everyone is enjoying. And the guru says, "Where did all this come from?" "Guruji, it is all by your mercy." And then the guru calls for the accounts to find out what's left in his bank account. And he finds that there's nothing left. And he says to his disciple, "What happened?" "Guruji, it was all by your mercy." So one has to learn, diksha is to help us surrender to someone. Sometimes, Prabhupada used to give the example that if everyone is my master, it means that no one is my master. Just like I remember at the beginning, after Srila Prabhupada left, there were many initiating gurus, and there was this understanding that they could also be your shiksha guru. And so many, there was one guru, he liked ice cream and 7-Up. And so many devotees accepted him as their shiksha guru, because it was, they could offer the ice cream and 7-Up to his picture. So when everyone becomes my guru, it means that no one is my guru. So diksha is more or less a process by at least we can become fixed in understanding what Krishna wants through his representative and at least accept one authority rather than so many authorities. One ultimate authority. Of course, as Srila Prabhupada said, that there is no real difference between the initiating spiritual master and the instructing spiritual masters. There are different representatives of the super soul, but they have different functions. Krishna, just as Krishna may play on his flute and at the same time create universes or tend the cows in the forest, and is still the same Krishna, so Krishna may appear in different ways as Shiksha Guru, as Diksha Guru, as Vartma Pradakshika Guru, in order to help the disciple in different ways come to the platform of understanding what he himself within the heart as a super soul is trying to convey. Actually, there's only one guru, that is Krishna, and he has many different representatives who fulfill different functions in enlightening the soul with transcendental knowledge.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question goes to His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj. Why do we sing the Guru Astaka at Mangalarti and not the praises of Krishna himself? Why do we start our morning with the Guru Astak and not the praises of Krishna himself?
Well, the process is you always approach Krishna through Guru. You can't approach Krishna directly. So by getting the mercy of the Guru, then you can get the mercy of Krishna. That is actually the process. So by honoring the spiritual masters, the first thing we do, that is the beginning of devotional service. Is that sufficient?
Who asked this question about Guru Astak? Is it sufficient? No.
No. Okay. So we have to find it, we have to become more sufficient.
What was the question?
The question was, in the first thing in the morning, we approach why don't we sing the glories of the Lord why do we sing the glories of spiritual master for Guru Astakam? And the answer I gave was that we honor the spiritual master first before we can actually approach Krishna. And as us also, then one of the last verses in Guru Astakam was Yasya Prashadam Bhagavat Prashadam Yasya Prashadam Nagati Kutopi. By pleasing the spiritual master, then the Lord is pleased, and without pleasing the spiritual master, Nagati Kutopi, everything is useless. So we can't jump up. Srila Prabhupada is giving us the process that by approaching the spiritual master, then that is the way to approach Krishna. It's like if you offer prasad, you can't, what you offer your prasad to your spiritual master, and he is offering that prasadam to Krishna. Actually, devotional service cannot be performed by one who still has material desires. Because the spiritual master is a pure devotee, he takes our mixed devotional service and he offers that to Krishna. And therefore, we can perform devotional service to Krishna through the spiritual master. Otherwise, we cannot approach Krishna directly. So in the same way, we honor the spiritual master first. This is the actual etiquette and procedure in devotional service.
Thank you, Maharaj.
You want more sufficient than that? Vibhavarishesha. No, we go to the samadhi first.
The time to attend Mangalarti in Vrindavan is 4:15.
That is sufficient. Ashwarupa Prabhu sleeps too late.
So the next question is...
It will be sufficient for you to wake up on time.
The next question is for Nitya Swami Maharaj. If God is one, why do we offer phalam pushpam, that is flowers and fruits, whereas in other religions they offer wine and meat?
They also offer water.
Who asked that question?
Who asked this question about offering wine and meat in other religions?
There are 18 Puranas, and there are 6 Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, 6 Puranas for those in the mode of passion, and 6 Puranas for those in the mode of goodness. And the whole Vedic scheme is to gradually elevate the conditioned soul through the different modes of material nature and come to the platform of goodness, and from there to the platform of pure goodness or sudasattva, to just do whatever is pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So religions and different modes of nature provide ways to engage the followers in order for purification, just like Prabhupada explains that if you want to eat meat in the houses of the Vedas, then you just don't eat any meat. You eat goat, but you just don't eat a goat. What you do is you take the goat and you make an offering. And while making the offering, you chant a mantra into the ear of the goat that, my dear goat, I'm killing you, but in your next life, you will kill me and eat me. Mm-hmm. So by chanting that mantra into the ear of the goat, you're supposed to get a little realization that this is not really the best path, that I'm really at the highest stage. If we understand that there's a gradual elevation to the point of accepting this instruction from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita to offer foods that he wants, then we can understand how to make progress to that point.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for Mother Malti. Serving the devotees is very satisfying, but how do we know whether the satisfaction we get is to our false ego or for our soul?
You can find out from the devotees if they are satisfied by the service you're rendering. That is one way. Because sometimes we are thinking that we are happy to serve the devotees and we become very happy in doing the service. But just like the example was given, somebody asks for water and you're thinking, oh, I'll bring something better. So this is a nice sentiment, but it's not a proper mood of service. So the service of the Vaishnav depends upon the pleasure of the Vaishnav. And the pleasure of the Vaishnav is dependent upon the pleasure of Lord Krishna. So the type of service rendered should be exclusively connected with devotional principles and practices. They're not like, let's go to the cinema, I'll treat you. That's not service to the Vaishnavas. Or let me take you, there's a new hotel in town, and half of it's vegetarian, I'll take you to the vegetarian half. You know? This is not service, actually this is disservice. But, for example, here you have a nice yatra, and there are many rules and regulations this year. So maybe you had one friend who was not quite fixed to the standard. So you could encourage that person, I'd really like to bring you to this wonderful yatra. And the admission price is a little interesting. You have to chant 16 rounds. Let me help you. You know, so this is a type of service. And this is a service that's for the glorification of the Vaishnav. And this type of service will please Krishna. And if you're pleased, that is only natural.
Thank you, Mataji. The next question is for His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. When we are introduced to our movement, we are told that it is just feasting, dancing and chanting. But later on, many don't start coming, not to do this, not to do that. Why is it like that?
All we are doing is chanting, dancing and feasting. Whatever restrictions are to help us to exclusively engage our lives in chanting, dancing, and feasting.
Thank you very much. The next question is for His Holiness Praladhanand Swami Maharaj. The Bhagavad Gita says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayeshu Arjuna Tishtati. Now, in plants, there is no heart. And if there also Paramatma is residing in a plant, then it contradicts the second line of this verse. How it is so?
Who said there's no heart in the plant?
Who asked this question? Maybe he's a bit frightened.
Now, Krishna is in the heart of the soul. He says, Sarvasya chaham riddhi sanavishto matak smritir gyanam apoanam cha. So Krishna is in the heart of the soul, or wherever the soul is, that's the heart. Wherever the soul is in the tree, that's the heart of the tree. Wherever the soul is in the plant, that's the heart of the plant. And within the heart of the soul is the super soul.
Thank you very much. The next question is for His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. If we follow Krishna consciousness, whether it is necessary to follow the puja of other gods or goddesses?
Other gods or goddesses means demigods? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he explains that those who approach the demigods for material benedictions, of course he says many things, but limited and temporary results, and alpa medusa, they have small intelligence, but he also says that actually the benedictions that the demigods are given, actually they're coming by me also, through the demigods. So Krishna is the, he's the supreme Ishwar. All the demigods are subordinate to the Lord. So by worshipping the Lord, everything else is included. There's no need to approach any other deva. But people approach the demigods for other reasons, for material benedictions. And therefore, they get that. If you approach Krishna, you don't get, you may get your material desires satisfied, or you may not. And that's why people don't want to worship Krishna. They want to worship something, they want to worship according to their desires and get a situation where they can practice some kind of spiritual life but still maintain their material desires, or at least try to. But there's no need. One who approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything else is included. If that is your, when we approach Krishna, we approach for devotional service. You approach the demigods, you approach for material benefits. So, different ways to understand that same principle, but ultimately there's no need to approach the demigods because they can only give material desires which are limited and temporary. So if you worship the Lord, everything is included. And Bilva Mangala Thakur explains that since I have engaged in devotional service to the Lord, liberation and material happiness are standing at my door with folded hands waiting to serve me. So everything is there in devotional service. Of course, one who actually tastes the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, they lose their taste for any of the desires that the devas can give. So there's no need to act in a lesser way. When you have Krishna consciousness, you have everything. When you have $1,000,000, you have $10, you have $100, you have everything. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness, the topmost yoga system. By worshipping Krishna, serving Krishna, and then everything else is automatically achieved through that process.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next question is for Jalilis Nityodit Swami Maharaj. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna that because you are my devotee and friend, you can understand this knowledge. I understand that this was said by a spiritual master to his disciple. So how to become a devotee and especially a friend of one's spiritual master?
There's only one rasa with the spiritual master, and that is master and servant. At the same time, the devotee feels that my spiritual master is my best friend, because spiritual master is representing Krishna. Krishna says, Suradam Sarvabhutanam, that he is the friend of all living beings. So therefore, Prabhupada says the devotee should have a firm friendship with the spiritual master. But that is not taken in a mundane sense. It's taking the transcendental sense that to be dependent on the good advice of the spiritual master as a friend, to be confident that the spiritual master will be there for you. What does it mean to be a friend? A friend means that somebody will give you guidance, somebody will encourage you. Those kind of things we can expect from the spiritual master, but to be to try to approach a spiritual master as a buddy-buddy, in a mundane sense, talking about mundane things, or to sit on the same level as a spiritual master. One time, Srila Prabhupada was... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was talking with some devotees, and Srila Prabhupada, this was when he was a young devotee, he came and he sat on the couch right next to Bhaktisiddhanta. And then he said he was looking around, he's seeing all these disciples sitting at his feet, and he realized that he had made a mistake, and he learned his lesson. So relationship with a friend, you can take their advice or not take their advice. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was getting instruction from Krishna, before Krishna was, Arjuna was bewildered. He was approaching Krishna, but he didn't really accept him on the level of spiritual master. So he didn't really, Krishna didn't really start giving him very direct instructions. Only when he surrendered to him did Krishna's instruction really develop into its full power. And then Arjuna got full advantage of Krishna's association when he gave up friendly talks. Prabhupada said when he gave up friendly talks, that's when the real talking began between disciple and spiritual master. So we have to have firm friendship to have confidence that spiritual...
Please. Satam prasangam amavirya samvido bhavanti rikarna rasayanam katha tajjoshvarashbhava varga vartmani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishati. That in the association of devotees, what's the first word? Tat? Satam. Oh, okay. Satam. So in the association of the satams who have understood factually and practically about how to enliven others in Krishna consciousness, satam prasangam mama virya samvido, if one hears about the glories of Krishna in such association, then the result is satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti will gradually develop bhavanti rit karna within the heart and within the ear. Bhavanti rit karna rasayanam katha. This will act just like rasayana, transcendental nectar, and enliven the devotee to engage in devotional service. And the result is tajjoshavarashvavavarga-vartmani. All these misgivings, all this identification with our body, all this false ego will gradually be diminished. And shraddha, real faith, raktira, real attachment, and ultimately prema, or love for Krishna. Shraddha, raktira, bhaktira, anukramishyati. They'll all naturally develop one after another. So thank you very much for your kind attention. They told me to speak so long. So I was afraid not to do it. Although generally I never speak so long. Because I usually figure after 20 minutes I've said enough. But by your kind mercy, I was able to speak so long. Sorry for...
We were discussing the Bhagavad, Madhyamadikara, Majjhima Bhagavad, like that. And also the question came up why Prabhupada called Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra
Kanishadikari.
Yeah. If you could explain
that. Prabhupada very specifically says in the purport that when faced with the Mayavadis, they didn't know how to defeat them. Therefore, although they were associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of the lack of transcendental knowledge, they were considered to be Kanishta Adhikaris. Of course, they may have been, undoubtedly they were more elevated than that. But the symptom of a Kanishta Adhikari is that although he has faith in the process, he doesn't know about the scriptures. And because they didn't know sufficiently about the scriptures to deal with the Mayavadis, Prabhupada labeled them as Kanistas. Madhyamas can discriminate. They have not scriptural knowledge. They have spiritual vision coming from the scriptures. Therefore, they are able to present Krishna consciousness to others. Well, Kanistas can't do that because of lack of training and lack of scriptural knowledge. Is that clear? Anything else?
Maharaj, when we chant the holy name of Lord, sometimes or most of the time, it's very difficult to concentrate on the chanting, but sometimes mind goes here and there. Now today, in your class, you said, in that time when you are discussing about Nishtha, that we should try to remember past time, or you said that some Krishna, we should concentrate on ditthi form or something like that. So, how we can understand this point, because usually we have been told up till now that we should only hear the chanting of the holy name of Lord, and at that time we should not concentrate on anything else, but we have not reached to that stage and we think something else, then we bring our mind sometimes back again on chanting, again it goes somewhere else. So how to reach to the stage by which we can concentrate on the pastime or concentrate on Krishna?
Well, first we should thank you for the question. One time I wrote to Srila Prabhupada, I said, I was asking Srila Prabhupada, can I remember Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting the holy name? And Prabhupada wrote back to me, he said, no. He said, you should just chant in here, but if Krishna's pastimes come spontaneously, that is very nice. So before we can remember Krishna's pastimes, first of all, we should try to remember Krishna's form. So this trying to remember Krishna's form is not something artificially. It depends upon, one thing is the quality of our chanting. So, if we chant attentively, pronounce the words properly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the first stage, is just to chant attentively. Attentive chanting is not enough though. We also have to chant with some feeling, because this process is called bhakti, and bhakti means devotion, and devotion means feeling. Of course, that feeling is based upon the sentiment of service, of trying to please Krishna. So what will please Krishna is, first of all, to chant attentively. Sometimes we hear the devotees chanting another mantra. I'm sure you've heard this. Shnik shnik ram ram, day 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 day, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. Shnik shnik ram ram, day 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 day, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. So, with this mantra you may remember your favorite cat. But it's very unlikely to remember the form of Krishna. So we should chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And then, we should not only chant it mechanically, just like sometimes the devotees go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I remember some devotees, when the movement was younger, they would be chanting, but they were a little tired, so they hit their head against the wall. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So this type of feeling is not the topmost devotion. Or sometimes we find the devotees are in distress, and they're chanting, and they go, Hare Krishna, I'm the most fallen. Hare Ram, I'm so fallen. Hare Krishna, oh, this is terrible. I'm suffering like anything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, how Krishna is thinking I'm a great devotee because I'm suffering so much. Surely he'll give me his mercy. No, one should try to chant lovingly, some feelingly. Prabhupada said in one of the original albums he put out, that just like a child calling for his mother. So a child is innocent. It is simply out of love that he's calling for his mother, out of feeling of separation. So if we chant, if we believe in Krishna, and we believe that Krishna and his name are non-different, then we can chant to Krishna and to Srimati Radharani, and we can chant to them, trying to be like a child, out of love, calling for his father and mother. So the more joyfully and lovingly we can chant, then spontaneously, we'll remember Krishna's form, because we'll be chanting to someone. As soon as we accept that Krishna is a person, we accept that the deity and Krishna are non-different, or that the picture of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, or the philosophy about Krishna is non-different from Krishna, the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, are non-different from Krishna, then when we chant in that way, then naturally we'll remember Krishna. Just like at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya said, Rajan Samsmritya Samsmritya Samvadam Imam Adbhutam Keshvarjana Punyam Rishami Cha Muhuramahu. Remembering this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I'm taking pleasure and being thrilled at every moment. Tatscha Samsmritya Samsmritya Rupam Adya Bhutam Hare Vishmayo Me Maharajan Rishami Cha Punak Punak. Remembering as well the wonderful form of Krishna, I'm becoming even more struck with wonder, and thus I rejoice again and again. So if we chant feelingly, we think about Krishna feelingly, with love and devotion, the result is that automatically, spontaneously, we'll remember Krishna's form. Or as Prabhupada has also told us, that if we think that my spiritual master, or Krishna, he's asked me to do this through my spiritual master, this chanting of Hare Krishna, and I'm doing it just to please him, then Prabhupada said automatically, naturally, we'll remember Krishna. And that this is perfect Krishna consciousness. So it requires attention, the use of our intelligence, and also the use of our heart to feelingly chant to Krishna. And if we do that, then spontaneously, Tadami Buddha Yogam Tam, Krishna will reveal himself to us, and we'll go to Krishna, we'll associate with Krishna more and more intimately. Yes? Anyone else? Do we have a hand up here? Someone can pass the microphone around.
Maharaj.
Okay.
Maharaj, we were talking about service to the spiritual master. But sometimes what happens is that when there are many disciples, each one is very eager to serve the spiritual master. So it becomes a sort of competition.
Uh-huh.
In such circumstances, Maharaj, what should be our mood of service?
We don't know what spiritual master means. Therefore, we have these difficulties. We are thinking, because someone has given me the mantra, Diksha, therefore he's my only spiritual master. But that's not what spiritual master means. Spiritual master means one who's there are three types of spiritual masters. The Diksha Guru, the Shiksha Guru, and the Vartma Pradakshika Guru. So they're all spiritual masters, one who introduces me to devotional life, known as the Vartma Pradakshika Guru, one who's given me instructions, Shiksha, one who's given me initiation into the mantras, Diksha. So they're all my guru. The Vaishnavas in the second class, one on the second class platform, he sees all the Vaishnavas as representatives of Krishna, and he reciprocates according to their level of advancement. So we can take anyone who's advanced in devotional service and who's glorifying Krishna and who loves the devotees and doesn't unnecessarily criticize just to find fault, we can take them as guru. And if we engage in their service appropriately in those six loving exchanges, then we'll make spiritual advancement. And if we think that only my Diksha Guru, only one who's given me Diksha is my Guru, and everyone else is something else, then I won't make any advancement, or very little advancement. Because second-class devotee means to advance, or third-class, taking initiation, is to help me advance to the second-class platform, by which I'll be able to properly appreciate all the Vaishnavas, and reciprocate with them accordingly. But if someone is giving me an example, someone is giving me transcendental knowledge, and I don't appreciate, and I don't serve their instructions, due to lack of faith and understanding, then my devotional service will be checked, and I'll always remain on the third class platform. And especially in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has created a society, not a group of Diksha Gurus. He's created a society where everyone should work cooperatively. Therefore, Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this moving together after my disappearance. So that cooperation, this is in the mood of everyone acting as a servant. That no one should consider themselves a master. Everyone should consider themselves a servant of the movement. And therefore, we call each other Prabhu. Prabhu doesn't mean that I am your master and you are my, just like they say, this is the process of give and take. You give to me and I take from you. Not that, yes, I am Prabhu, I am everyone's Prabhu. This is a very nice movement. Everyone is calling me Prabhu, master. So this is very nice. I always wanted to come to a society where I'd be the master. No, we should think that everyone is my Prabhu and I am everyone else's servant. And therefore, the movement is created in such a way, or it should be created in such a way, is that everyone develops that service attitude and that proper discrimination by which those who are new to Krishna consciousness are not very advanced, one can respect them within the mind. To those who are following and trying to advance further in devotional service, then one should cooperate with them and offer them obeisances. And those who are more advanced, those who are consistently engaged in devotional service and who can explain how I can develop my love for Krishna and the devotees, then I should follow their instructions to come to that platform too. Just like gold, whether a Christian has gold or a Muslim has gold or a Hindu has gold, gold is gold. If a Christian is offering you gold, you don't say, well, no, this is Christian gold. No, gold is everyone's gold. It's the same for everyone. So similarly, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the practical examples of Krishna consciousness, that I should reciprocate according to the level of advancement that a devotee has, not according to some formality, some idea I have within my mind.
Yes.
Maharaj, in the lecture, you discussed about false pride, and we have heard about false ego also a lot of times. So I want to know, is there anything called just plain ego, or is there any pure form of ego in the spiritual world or something like that? Why we have to attach the word false to ego every time?
Well, around here you do, at least in the material world. Because most people, that's what they have, is a false ego. But false ego implies that there's a real ego. Krishnara Nityadas. Our real ego is I'm simply Krishna's servant. That is real ego. And one who is engaged in Krishna's service, then he can gradually realize his factual identity. And the process is the process of devotional service. Just like at night, we may dream, as I mentioned yesterday, we may dream that we're very wealthy or successful, and then we wake up and now we have our present dream. So this is also a dream. That's why it's called false ego. But we have a real identity, and that can be awakened by the process of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada wrote to me in my initiation letter, because I was initiated by mail. He said, you are right that we are all trapped, conditioned souls, and now Krishna is giving you an opportunity to awaken your Krishna consciousness just by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So that is our ego. I am Krishna's servant, and that's all I am. So I should find out what Krishna wants me to do, and I should do that to please him, and then we'll remember Krishna, and in the presence of Krishna, everything will be revealed. Anything else? Wherever the microphone is.
Yeah,
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you compared Krishna consciousness to action in mode of goodness, which is poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. But Krishna consciousness being a transcendental process, how can it be compared to action in mode of goodness?
Well, first we have to come to the mode of goodness before we can come to transcendence. Just like if you want to take an airplane, first you have to go to the airport. If you decide, why should I bother going to the airport? I'll catch the plane from the roof of my house. No, first one goes to the airport, and then there is some possibility of catching the airplane. Of course, just going to the airport is not enough. One has to also get into the airplane. So similarly, the mode of goodness is the platform by which one comes to transcendence, or shuddha-sattva. And that process is, as explained, that one has to tolerate, or as Krishna says, kama krodha vimuktaistu vishan indra. No. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatichetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. That those who are free from all material desires, or kama krodha vimuktanam, those who are free from anger and all material desires, kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatichetasam, who are meditating upon the Supreme Lord within the heart, abhito brahma nirvanam, who have come to the platform of Brahman, attain transcendence, vartate viditatmana. So we have to become free from anger, this frustration. We have to become free from lust, the desire to lord it over the material nature, the frustration of our inability to do so. And when we become free from those two things, we can come to goodness, and then one can actually concentrate the mind upon Krishna. If one doesn't come to the mode of goodness, then the mind will always be dragged, the mind's thoughts about Krishna will always be dragged away by material desires and thoughts. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. Indriyani icharatam yanmano nuvidiyate tadasya harati pragya vayor ganda vayor vana Vayur Navami Vambasi. Anything else?
Maharaj, you told that one should chant with concentration and some feelings. But we can't have feelings artificially. So how one can develop that feelings?
Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana Ridyantakstau Hivajani Vidunoti Saritsatam Nashta Prayeshvabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So, regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class. And by hearing from the devotees, all that's inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed almost nil. And thus, loving service to the Supreme Lord is awakened. So hearing about Krishna regularly, hearing from the devotees, hearing in the association of devotees, this will develop our attraction to Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive, and the message about Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So if we hear about Krishna with the right attitude, from the right source, then gradually our attraction for Krishna will be awakened. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kavanoi Shravanadi Shudachite Koraye Udai. This love for Krishna, this attraction for Krishna, is natural. And if we simply hear, and we try to assimilate the knowledge, and then we try to apply it within our lives the best we can, then gradually Krishna will help us purify our heart, and the result is that our awareness of Krishna will increase, and we'll naturally become attracted to Krishna. Whoever has the microphone is... Okay.
Maharaj, our Sampradaya, Brahmavadva, Gaudiya Sampradaya, this stresses very much against impersonalism. So how is it possible that initiated disciple of such an exalted spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, that is Ramchandra Puri, could present impersonalist ideas?
How is it possible? Well, generally, those who come to devotional service are not pure devotees. It is said, Chatura vida bhajante imam jana sukritira arjuna arta jignasi artarati jnani cha bharatarshava. Four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service to me. So generally people come out of distress. This is known as artha. They have some distress and therefore they approach the process. They may fall for some time, but because they have some hidden motivation, whether it be distress or desiring some security, some economic advancement, therefore when they're Krishna, out of his kindness, he satisfies their desire, therefore they become disinterested in the process of devotional service. But if one is able to advance further, then he comes to the platform of jignasu. Or sometimes people come out of jignasu, they're inquisitive. Or some people come because they're jnanis. So generally those who are jnanis, Krishna says, tesham jnani nityukta eka bhakti vishishati priyo hi jnanino yartam aham sacha mama priyaha. That for the jnani, generally, his basic reason for approaching Krishna is out of love. But sometimes one may approach Krishna and he may have some impersonalist understanding of Krishna. Just like there are many Mayavadis, they also chant Hare Krishna. But their basic conception is that one day they'll become Krishna. So this is very possible. Many varieties of people may approach devotional service, just like one time Raghunath Bhat. He was going, after leaving the association of his parents, they had left their bodies, he went to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. So on the way to Jagannath Puri, he was associating with one devotee, his name was Ramdas. So Ramdas, he was constantly chanting, Ram, 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 all day long, and rendering service to Raghunath Bhat. Although Raghunath Bhat Goswami did not desire such service, but still Ram Das was always rendering him service because he was a Brahmin. When they arrived at Jagannath Puri, Ram Das was continuously chanting Ram, 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 or maybe it was Hari Ram, Ram, Ram. So he was always chanting the name of Ram. When Raghunath Bhat Goswami saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him with great ecstasy and love. But when he saw Ram Das, he did not give him any special consideration, because he knew that Ram Das was thinking that he was Ram. Although he was constantly chanting the name of Ram, the idea was that he thought he was going to become Ram. So sometimes impersonalists may even take to the process of devotional service, but the idea is that they have some impersonal goal rather than Krishna consciousness as their goal. One time I met one girl at the airport. I was distributing books, and she said, "Oh, this book is about Krishna. Oh, how nice." She said, "I have a deity of Krishna, and I worship him every day. And one day, I'll realize that I'm Krishna." So this is not uncommon. Matter of fact, most people walking around think they're Krishna. So sometimes such people, they take to devotional service. And of course, if one is in the association of devotees, then naturally the devotees will try to remind one that one is not Krishna. But sometimes people stubbornly maintain this understanding and this attitude. Anything else?
Maharaj, how do we see the spiritual master not from the material, his activities, not from material point of view, you mentioned?
Drishtai svabhava janiter vapushas tridoshar na prakritam bhakta janasya pashet Gangam vasam na kalu buddha buddha pena pankar brahmadravatram avigachati niradharmai. So the example is given, just like the Ganges water during the rainy season is full of bubbles, foam, and mud. But those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, they don't hesitate to bathe in the Ganges despite the seemingly contamination of the water. So, the bodily defects of a devotee, whether he's infirmed or has a diseased body, whatever, old body, these should not be considered. What should be considered is how the devotee is engaged in devotional service. So we have to train our eyes. This is called Utkramantam Sitim Vapi Bunjana Vagunanvita Vimudonanapashanti Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So we should examine ourselves and see whether I'm foolish or not. If I'm identifying myself with this body, if I don't understand what my next body was going to be, then I should understand that I'm a fool. And as a fool, I should try to find out someone with knowledge. So if they have knowledge about who I am and how I can realize who I am, and if they themselves are following the process to realize, setting the example, then I can accept these persons as intelligent. And if I'm trained to see through that vision, then I can jnana chakshus. I can obtain some jnana chakshus, transcendental knowledge. Kshetra, kshetraya, jnanam, antra, jnana chakshusha, bhuta, prakriti, moksham cha, ye vidura yanti te param. So the one who can understand by scriptural knowledge the difference between the owner of the body and the body, and understand the process of liberation from this material body, he can obtain the supreme transcendental destination. Kshetra kshetraya jnanam antra jnana chakshusha chakshusha. So we get the eyes through hearing. So we hear from persons who are advanced, who can explain things to us, and who are also practicing what they're preaching. Then we can understand that this person, no matter what his body is, he's understood something. So that takes submissive hearing. And also, if I hear it in such a way, and I've understood something, if I apply it within my life, and I become enlivened and enlightened in devotional service, then I can understand that this person is giving me something valuable. This is called faith. This is how faith develops. By hearing, and then by practicing, becoming enlivened and enlightened, and therefore we know it works. Yes.
Maharaj, third offense, you mentioned that feeling that ultimately everything is meaningless. So how we practically experience this, that we feel everything is meaningless? Are there two anarthas? Are
you have no idea? You have no idea what it's like to feel that everything is meaningless? You want to practice that?
No.
I don't understand.
Like two anarthas you mentioned is, one is body consciousness.
Yes. Right?
And the second is reluctance to devotional service.
Yeah. Then well, the void philosophy.
But what is this third?
What is this?
Feeling ultimately everything is meaningless.
Yes, most people in the material world nowadays think that everything is ultimately meaningless. That when you're dead, you're dead. When you're dead, there is no soul, there is no God. Ultimately, everything is void. That when I die, it's the end of everything. Asatyam apratishtam te jagato huranishvaram aparashparam sambudyam kemanyat kamahaitukam. They say that this world is unreal. It has no foundation, it has no God in control, it is produced as sex desire, and has no other cause than lust. Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudaya pravan yugra karamana shaye jagato hita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac who have no intelligence create horrible, unbeneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. So you can say most people don't believe in God, they don't believe in the soul, they don't believe in the law of karma, they believe in only immediate gratification of the senses. And therefore they're trying so many different ways to gratify their senses, and they find out that their senses never become gratified, and simply the problems are increasing. So therefore they think everything is ultimately meaningless.
This is not in spiritual circles. This is not in spiritual realm.
Void is no, there's nothing. It's nowhere. Anything else? Yes.
Well, we're coming to an end of the question answer, so I had one last question.
The final question. What is the duty of a person who's about to die?
Theoretically, I know that. The thing is, what is your practical suggestion or some tips for regular reading, maintaining a regular reading schedule and to memorize verses with the translation? Some practical tips you can give. How can we do
that?
That's
a whole class. The most practical thing is sit down with a book and look at it. And start reading it word by word, and then question yourself, what have I understood? And then when you find out you've understood nothing, go back and read it again. And then question yourself again the second time, what have I understood? And if you find out you've understood nothing, go back and read it again. So, after some time, then we'll realize Krishna will give us the intelligence. We'll pray to Him, please, I'm spending so much time here trying to understand something. Please, Krishna, let me understand something. And then gradually we'll understand that the way of learning anything, especially Krishna's books, is all by the mercy of Krishna. That we have to pray to Him to help us understand something. So Krishna is speaking to us through these scriptures. Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us through His books. So we should pray to them. And we should read the books and pray to them for the understanding what's in them. And as they give us the intelligence, then the remembrance and the knowledge will be there, and our forgetfulness will go away. So thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.